On this Independence Day for our country, we rightfully rejoice in our freedom and celebrate today all the many blessings we have in this country. But as great as the freedoms that we might have in this country are, we have to look today for an even higher freedom. For as good as the disciples had it and rejoiced in their mission, Jesus reminds them, don't just rejoice because of earthly triumphs and victories, because you made a lot of converts or spirits obey you. He says, rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that there is something even greater than anything that this life could give us. Because we know that although we have freedom in this life, we can use it in various ways, some of them not always holy. The fact that we have this freedom, the same freedom that allows you and me to come today in worship, also allows Fred Phelps to be an idiot. So we have to rejoice in our country that look at where we live. We're free. But is that the kind of freedom that God really has in mind? Well, not exactly. God wants something much greater than just the freedom to go where we want or do what we want when we want to. Our first reading today is a little bit tricky. We hear all these beautiful teachings about Jerusalem. Isaiah is telling Israel, rejoice over Jerusalem, all you who love her. Isn't Jerusalem beautiful? Well, we might maybe think that today. Although if you've been there, you might not even think that today. But at the time, you would think, well, Jerusalem is a pretty important city. The problem is, Isaiah is giving this prophecy precisely while the Israelites are in exile. They're in Babylon, far away from Jerusalem. And the last they remembered of Jerusalem, they saw the temple being burnt down, all the walls being torn down. So when Isaiah comes and says, rejoice over Jerusalem, well, they might tend to want to stone him because, like, Isaiah, you're bringing up bad memories here. After all, Jerusalem is in rubble. There is no Jerusalem anymore. What do you mean, rejoice over Jerusalem? Well, Isaiah, of course, he's a prophet, so he sees with the mind of God, and he's telling the people that are in the darkness and sadness of Babylon, it won't always be this way. Have hope. God hasn't forgotten you. He knows you're here in exile, and he still has good plans for you. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. You will be carried as nurslings are carried in the arms of their mothers. You will nurse with delight at her abundant breasts, showing the great prosperity that they would once again have in Jerusalem. It's a cause of great hope that despite the greatest tragedy in their life, the destruction of Jerusalem, God says, no, I'm even more powerful than that. It won't be this way forever. God gives us hope despite what our worldly situation might be. Perhaps we too find ourselves right now feeling a little exiled. Maybe there's not a whole lot of joy in your life. Maybe you feel like you're by the rivers of Babylon, there weeping, remembering better days. There are all kinds of things that can get in the way of our freedom in God. And I think the greatest of those is fear. That's ultimately what Isaiah comes to conquer. He says, don't be afraid. Better days are ahead. God wants to say the same thing to us. In the words of the great Pope John Paul, be not afraid. How many times do we allow fear and worry and anxiety to get in the way of the joy and freedom we should have in God? Think about all the things we worry about. You know, if we have a lot of money, we would think, those people would be secure. They're more worried than anybody. Ooh, I have all this money. What if I lose it? People that are poor are worried. Where will my next meal come from? Where will I live? And everybody in between worried about, will I have a job? Will I keep my job? Worried about our kids. Will they grow up to practice the faith? Worry everywhere. Worry about our health. How often we worry about that. Maybe we have some disease. Maybe we get to the end of our life and our bodies are starting to get a little frail. All kinds of things that we're afraid of. And we cannot be truly free as long as we live in fear. That's the great message of the gospel today. Jesus gives his apostles a specific mission, but then he tells them, oh, by the way, for this mission, don't take anything with you. No sandals, no money, no sack. In other Gospels, don't even take extra clothes. Now, the Boy Scout in me has a problem with this. I'm like, be prepared, Jesus. It's the Boy Scout motto. But Jesus says, none of that worldly stuff. You don't need all that extra stuff because I am sending you. And if you know that I'm in control of this, everything will be fine. And the apostles learned that. They come back, and did they lack anything? No, they're overjoyed. Like Jesus, it worked. It worked just like you said it would. Even demons, they obey us. It's amazing. Jesus wants to do the same thing for us in our life, to show us that if we put our trust and faith in him, we are free. We don't have to be afraid. St. Paul gives us the ultimate antidote for fear. He says in our second reading today, I boast in the cross. Let me boast in nothing except the cross. What a great contradiction. Because if ever there was a sign of fear and lack of freedom, it would be the cross. After all, Jesus' arms were nailed to the cross, his hands, his feet, he couldn't move, and he died. It seems like that was the ultimate victory for sin and death. But St. Paul says, no, I boast in that cross. How can he say that? Everywhere it seems we run into the cross in our life, it would seem that that is what we are most afraid of, whatever is represented by that cross. But I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus. You know, Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, he was dead in the tomb for 4 days, and of course, Jesus comes and he raises him from the dead. We all know that story. It's very famous. But what we often miss is there a story a few chapters later, in that gospel that it says the chief priest and the scribes saw that lots of people were coming and they see Lazarus and everyone wants to see him and they're converting. And they come to believe in Jesus because they see Lazarus. And they know he was dead and now he's alive. The chief priest and the scribes, it says, they sought to put Lazarus to death because of the conversions. Now, I don't know about you, but I read that passage and I have to laugh a little bit. I'm like, all right, Lazarus was dead already. Jesus said, get up. And he was raised. And now the chief priest and the scribes think they're going to put him to death to shut him up. And they got to be thinking in the back of their heads, you know, he was already dead once. I mean, if we kill him again, will Jesus just raise him up again? I mean, does it just keep getting worse? I mean, Lazarus to me seems almost like a kind of a superhero that, you know, he gets shot all over the place and falls down and he just gets right back up and you can't kill him. Because look at the freedom that Lazarus would have had. He knows, I was dead and I'm alive again. The greatest thing, I think, ultimately that we fear is death. Our physical death at the end of our life, but all the little deaths that are required of us each day to grow out of our selfishness, to give ourselves more to others, I think that's what we fear more than anything. But in God, we can be like Lazarus. I was dead and I'm alive. What are you going to do to me? That's how come St. Paul can boast. He says, I boast in the cross because Jesus was dead and he's alive and he'll do the same thing for us. In that kind of surety, we needn't be afraid of anything. So what if I have cancer? I'm going to die, but not permanently. So what if I lose my job? Jesus will take care of me and my family. So what if we encounter the cross in 1,000 different ways in our life? Let us boast of the cross because we know death is not the end. That is true freedom. To live in this life free from the bondage of sin and death in this life, with our eyes fixed on heaven. That is a freedom even greater than any freedom we could enjoy in this country or in this world. This freedom that we have in this country was bought and paid for through the sacrifice and death of many men and women who served in our military, who who have fought America's wars, who have fought and died for us that we could be free. Today we are grateful. What an amazing sacrifice. And we continue to pray for our men and women who are overseas and continue to fight. But that freedom, no matter how good it might be, will ultimately pass. Today, the freedom we have in God, we recognize was also bought and paid for at a great price. Jesus gave his life for us, that we might be free. And so today, on this Independence Day, we celebrate, rightfully, the freedom we have in this country. But more importantly, we celebrate the freedom that is held out for us in God. The freedom that allows us to boast of the cross, to know that death is not the end, to truly claim each Sunday as our Independence Day.